We have recorded in the scriptures, in Hebrews chapter 11, many examples of God's blessings upon various men and women as they walked and experienced great things as they walked by faith. And we read here in Hebrews chapter 11 about the faith that Noah had and Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, all these wonderful blessings that God showered upon His people as they walk by faith. And when we come to Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 31, we find mention made of the faith of a woman that was not of the chosen nation of Israel. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31, we read and it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." Now, compared to the crossing of the Red Sea, compared even perhaps to the great miracles of Abraham and Sarah had bearing children and they were past the age of childbearing, if we look at all these wondrous deeds that recorded and referred to here in Hebrews chapter 11, if you look at what is mentioned about the faith of this woman, Rahab, it may not sound all that wonderful, does it? Doesn't seem to be a wondrous and amazing and mighty event. But why then, if it's not a great and amazing event, why is it recorded here for us in Hebrews chapter 11? And I believe the answer for that is that what is being taught here in Hebrews chapter 11 is about faith and the necessity of us walking by faith. Now, I want to talk a little bit this morning, if the Lord would bless us, about Rahab and her walking by faith. And it tells us here, it says, the harlot Rahab. Now, I want to talk about that just a moment by mentioning the fact that it's called the harlot Rahab rather than Rahab. It's done as a matter of identification. Now, there are some people that are a lot smarter than I am that have tried to explain what this term harlot means. They'll tell us that this harlot, this word harlot, has come from words both in the Hebrew and in the Greek that refer to just to somebody that run a place of lodging that served meals also. And they would say, you know, that basically that was, she was operating a bed and breakfast. Some have said that basically that meant that she ran a place of that served food. You know, she was a restaurant manager. Now, I realize that these men that say that are a lot smarter than I am. However, when I go to my Bible and I go over to Genesis chapter 38, and I read about Judah, and Judah had a son, and it has a wicked son, and the Lord, it said, slew him and left a widow by the name of Tamar. And Judah later had got the report and said that Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot and she's with child. And that tells me when it said harlot in the Bible, it means what we think harlot means. You know, you can find this a little bit clearer back over in Nahum chapter 3 and verse 4. It's even clearer. And you can even go to the New Testament. And it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16 that when a man goes into a harlot, he has become one with her. Now, I don't have to explain to intelligent people that understand what the Lord teaches in His Bible about marriage between a man and a woman becoming one flesh. I don't have to explain this very much in detail. Y'all understand this. So when you see that word harlot, You know what it means? It means harlot. Just what we think it means. The Bible is clear. Now that is done by matter of identification. So we'll understand who is being talked about. Now, what I believe is when it says Rahab the harlot, what it's actually saying in all these places in scriptures that we're going to look at, that Rahab, who had once been a harlot. And he said, what kind of proof do you have for that? Well, I've got lots of proof. Lord willing, we'll try to show you that here in just a few minutes. Now, the first thing, the first principle I'd like to remind you of, if you go over to Matthew chapter 26, and down about verse 6, it talks about a leper there called Simon the leper. Now, lepers in Israel were ostracized. Lepers in Israel, they had this horrible disease. They were put outside the camp. You know, they had all these commands to them. When somebody came near of them, they had to say, leper, leper. You know, people wouldn't go around a leper. Well, here it tells in Matthew 26 about Simon the leper and Jesus Christ was in his house. You know what that tells me? He had been cured of leprosy. But he was still referred to as Simon the leper. So people would understand who he was talking about. And that stayed with him through all of his life, I'm sure, that he was indeed Simon the leper. Now, here's the reason that I believe that Rahab was no longer a harlot. And we've already read it to you. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31, which says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. I believe that God had taken this woman who was not even in the favored tribe of Israel, from a tribe of people that was hated, not those that he loved and he had all them special blessings on, but for this particular woman, he gave unto her spiritual life. He gave unto her spiritual life. He cleansed her ways. Now, three times in the New Testament, Rahab is mentioned. Now, one of them is over in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5 in the lineage of the legal kingly lineage of our Savior Jesus Christ. She's mentioned there. It's a little different spelling, but I understand by what I've read that's the same person we're talking about. Some have tried to deny that, but I'm going to go with that. The other mention of it is in James chapter 2. Let's go over to James chapter 2 for just a little bit, and let's talk a little bit more about Rahab and why I believe that God had performed a work in her life. Verse 17 of James chapter 2, it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. Now pay attention to this. Here's the part I want. And I will show thee my faith by my works. All right? Yeah. If you get down to verse 25, you can read. It says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Here it says that Rahab was justified. Now, I have to be careful. I know that I'm speaking in front of an illustrious attorney, but justification is a legal term that means to be declared innocent. Here it said that Rahab was declared to be innocent by her works. Now, when you look at that term justification, it's real easy for me to remember what justification means and divide it properly. You know, we have in scriptures where it talks about here in the New Testament, where it talks about justification by blood, justification by faith, and then here justification by works. It's real easy to understand and keep those separate. Just remember that in the eyes of God, you're declared innocent of sin. You're declared just in the eyes of God solely by God's grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. In the eyes of God, we can only be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't we thankful for that?
Amen.
Now, in my own eyes, in the eyes of my conscience, you know how I'm declared innocent of my sins? How do I know in my own being that I'm going to be in heaven someday? I fully believe with all my understanding, with all my heart, that when I breathe my last, I'm going to be with my Lord in heaven. How in the world can I believe that I'm innocent? Because I know I'm a sinner. How can I believe that? Because of faith. The faith that God has given me. In my own eyes, I'm justified by faith. Now, how do you know that I'm one of God's children? How do my co-workers know that I'm one of God's children? How do my neighbors know that I'm one of God's children? By my works. That's what we read here just in James chapter 2 in verse 18, where it says, I will show thee my faith. Well, who's it showing it to? Not to God, not to themselves, but to others. Show thee my faith by the works that I do. So Rahab, the harlot, ex-harlot, former harlot, had been justified in the sight of others by her works. Now, you know, there's something else interesting about those three types of justification. You know, a man cannot show his work, show his faith. He cannot be justified by works unless he has first been justified by faith. And he cannot be justified by faith unless he's been justified by blood. All right? You've got to have all of that, just have works. So the reason I'm saying that, Rahab here is commended for her works. Isn't that interesting? Here this harlot has commended not only in Hebrews chapter 11, but here in James for her good works. And what I'm saying is that Rahab, the harlot, had been given spiritual life and cleansed before the spies of Israel ever saw her. Amen. Now let's go back over and look at this account now. It's contained in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, Moses had passed and died, didn't get to cross the Jordan River into the promised land. And Joshua had been appointed unto his place, and they were getting ready to cross that Jordan River, that wondrous event. I'd like to have seen that almost as much as I'd like to have seen the parting of the waters of the Red Sea, though both were amazing miracles that happened. But before it came to that, it tells us here in chapter 2 of Joshua that Joshua is leader of Israel. He sent out two spies into Jericho. Now Jericho, ancient Jericho, there's a little bit of dispute where it was. Some of them say it was only a mile away from the river. Some say it was up to 8 miles. So somewhere in that range was a big city of Jericho. And that ancient city of Jericho, some have said it was built up on a small rise, and it was a walled city, and we could picture it in our minds by thinking of an extremely large castle, fortified, straight, tall walls. And they were sent in to that city to spy it out, to see about the military strength of that city, to see if they were going to be able to overtake that city, see what they needed to do to be enabled to conquer that city. Joshua said, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even to Jericho. And it says, and they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now, I don't know why they went in. Well, let me back up. I know why they went in. They were led of God. But I don't know if they were led to Rahab, to her house, or they met her in the streets or out in the fields, you know, outside of the walls of the city. I believe God's blessed them to be joined together with this one who believed in our God. And men, other men had saw these two Israelites go into her house, and they went to the king and said, you know, Rahab is harboring these two spies that have come in. And so the king went unto Rahab and said, bring them out. She said, they're not here. Now, I'm paraphrasing this just a little bit. And you have to, when you read through this account, you'll see all of this, but it's a little bit in kind of chopped up in pieces just a little bit. And she said, they're not here. They've already left. Now, that was a failure of her faith. It was a lie. We'll talk about that here in just a moment, Lord willing. But it tells us down in verse 6 that she brought them up to the roof of the house, hid them with stalks of flax, which she laid in order upon the roof. You know, I had a thought when I read about those stalks of flax. You know what that made me think about? It made me think about a verse over in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 13, we're talking about the virtuous woman. And it said there, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Now, you get back to Rahab here in Joshua 2 and verse 6. Here is, she is now working with the flax. Do you reckon maybe possibly we could now say that she's now been cleansed by God and she's now living as a virtuous woman? Now, that doesn't sound too hard for God, does it? And hadn't God done bigger miracles than that in this old world? Certainly he could do it. So she took these two spies up on her roof and she hid them there. And when the king came in and his people, and they said, bring these men out. And she told that story. She said, they were here, but they've left. I don't know where they went. She said, go after them quick and you can catch them. So the searchers from the king went out, left the walls of Jericho. And if you read in verse 5, it said it came past about the time of the shutting of the gate when it was dark. The men went out. Now, that's significant because here, after they went out, the gates were shut of that city. Nobody could get in or out. And they had to do that for protection because of the evil day that they lived in and many others coming in to destroy that city, seeking to do all kinds. They had to do it for their protection. Most of the people went to the city every night and slept while they were in the safety of that walled city. And so the king's men went out and spent 3 days searching for them, trying to find them so they couldn't give their report to Joshua. And it said down in verse 8, says, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. Now I want us to notice these next three verses, because in these next three verses, I believe is a confession of faith of Rahab. Here's some of my reasons why I believe God had changed her before these two spies ever showed up. She was one of God's chosen. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. I'm pretty sure the king of Jericho would not have uttered those words. Reference to the Lord. And not only that, saying, the Lord has given you this land. He says, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all of the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Why? Why were they so terrified? Why were they afraid? They hadn't even seen them yet. Verse 10 tells us, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. You know, something interesting about that. You know when that happened? Now, put yourself in the time of Rahab. 40 years. 40 years. They were still had that in mind for something that happened 40 years ago. And it was still a terror to them. And they say, and when you came out of Egypt and what you did on the two kings of the Amorites, which were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. They had heard about him for a long time, and they were terrified. The men of Jericho were fearful for their lives. But what about Rahab? What was her statement? The Lord has given you this land. I wonder how she knew that. I think God had something to do with that, don't you? That she understood that and knew that. And then it said in verse 11, and as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. And listen to this part of her confession of faith. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now I like that confession of faith, don't you? How that's stated. Let's read that again. In fact, I want to read that a couple of times. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Let me read it again from a different place. I want to read it from a different place. In Deuteronomy, it says, the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. Doesn't that sound like the same confession of faith? See, I was reading this time from Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39. And you know who made that confession of faith? That's Moses. She was saying the same words about God that Moses was. That tells me they were serving the same God. That tells me God had dealt with both of these individuals. Now, here's Rahab. God has dealt with her, wonderfully dealt with her, cleansed her, and she's now, I believe, has turned her back on her old way of life, and now she's walking in that perfect and righteous way that the Lord would have her to walk, making mistakes, certainly, but walking as the Lord would have her to walk, walking by faith. And we know she did because it's talked about over in Hebrews chapter 11 and James chapter 2. And she takes these men and she asks them here in verse 12, now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She wasn't very selfish, was she? You notice what she has done here? She's not merely begging for her own life. She's asking for blessings upon her family, her mother and father and brothers and sisters. See, one who walks by faith walks in a way of denying self to the benefit of others. Isn't that a wonderful example for us? Not be concerned about ourselves, but to be walking, thinking of the others in our life. In verse 14, the men answered her and said, our life for yours. This was an oath. Now, the only problem with that oath is something that the Lord had told them back in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 2, that told them there that when they came into the land, God had told them, don't make any covenants with the Canaanites or any of these other people of the land. You say, well, they're disobeying God's command. I think what we have here is the law of kindness has overruled another law here. So they made this oath, and they say that we will save you and your family alive. And it said in verse 15, she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And you remember, we said just a few moments ago that the walls of that city were like a castle, and the gates had been shut at night, and there was no way in and no way out, and they needed to get out and to escape and go into the mountain that she had told them to go into and hide 3 days while the searchers were looking for them. So she had this cord, a rope, if you will, made for these men and let them down by that. And they made that oath with her. And then in verse 18, we see the token of that covenant and of that oath. It said, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Now that little cord we had in verse 15 didn't raise too much in my thoughts, but when I got to this verse, it did. Now it says, it's a line of scarlet. Do you remember back in, if we get later on in the story over in Joshua chapter 6, when the nation of Israel coming in to conquer Jericho and they circled the city those 6 days at one time and blew the trumpet, and then that seventh day they circled it 7 times and blew the trumpet and all the walls fell down. But before the walls fell down, you know what they saw? They saw hanging out of that window that scarlet line. That's an emblem of blood. And you know, they were saved. Rahab's family was saved from destruction. And we see that emblem of their house where they were saved, that scarlet rope. Go back with me in your mind to Exodus chapter 12. When Egypt, down in Egypt, Israel was still in bondage in Egypt. You get down about verse 7. And here comes the plague, the death of the firstborn. And you remember what the instructions are given. Take a lamb and slay it. And take that blood, scarlet in color, if you will, and put it on the doorpost of that house. And when I pass by, you'll be safe. When the angel of death came through Egypt and saw the scarlet on the door, they were saved. When the children of Israel walked around the city of Jericho and they saw that scarlet coming from the house of Rahab, they were spared. And what does all that mean? That's a reminder for us that all that we have, our lives, are dependent upon the blood of Jesus Christ. We have no hope of anything without the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we can see the blood of Jesus Christ throughout the Old Testament, can't we? So here they had this promise. And they left and went upon their way, and they went to the mountain that Rahab had told them to go to. And after 3 days, they departed and crossed the river, went back and made their report unto Joshua. And as we've already mentioned, not many days after that, Israel crossed the Jordan River. The water stood up as a heap and they crossed as on dry land, and they surrounded that city, and God brought them the victory. And Rahab and her family was saved. Now, let's get back to the whole point of all of this, the faith of Rahab. Where we started in Hebrews chapter 11, it was talking about the faith of Rahab. Now, the first thing I want to emphasize is the basis of her faith. Where did Rahab get her faith? Did she just look at all of the military conquest that Israel had had and decided, I'm going to have faith in God? No, her faith came from God. Just like you and I get faith. I can't give faith to anybody. It takes God to deal to it, to every man, the measure of faith. And what a difference it can make in our lives when that happens. We have a song in our songbook. I think it's number 157, and that one about who flung the stars out into space. Well, the last stanza of that talks about what God does. He takes a sinner, vain and wild, and makes him as a little child. Subdues his will and guides his feet and leads him to the mercy seat. Doesn't that express it well, what God does when he gives us faith? He can bring the highest, most proudful man there is in this world down low. And then he brings the lowest and the humblest up by that faith that he imparts. The basis of our faith is our God. But you and I, just as Rahab, we make mistakes in our faith. You know, Rahab made a mistake. She told a lie. She lied to the king. You say, well, what else was she supposed to do? Tell the truth. You know, now remember, Abraham, he also told a lie. Not ever excused, breaking God's commandments. But she erred. You know, God could have preserved them from the king's men, even if she'd have told the truth. She could have even told them that they were hiding under the flax up on my roof, and God could have still protected them, couldn't he? I mean, he could have made them invisible. You remember when Jesus Christ was on the road to Emmaus, and he was walking there, and it made it where those two there didn't even recognize who he was? You think God could have done that in this case if he'd wanted to? Certainly. So even though God had given her faith, she still wasn't perfect. She still made mistakes. Her faith did fail her from time to time. And as we go through Hebrews chapter 11, you're going to notice that. And look at Hebrews chapter 11, and you look at Abraham, and you look at all those others, and they're marked out for their wonderful examples of walking by faith. But when we read the Bible, we know that they were sinners and they made some mistakes. And some of them was pretty severe mistakes. Some of them was pretty bad. But you notice they weren't mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11? They were commended for when they walked as they should. Now this brings me to my last comment about the faith of Rahab. The example of her faith. Now, Rahab could have spent her time looking at her past, at looking what was behind her. You know, I'm told, I don't know if this is true or not, but I've read, and I might say from a fairly unreliable source, but I've read that in the American West, that when people were coming west, as they left the East Coast and the crowds, and they were seeking a new start in the West, When they came to a place and they would meet somebody, they wouldn't be asked where they were from. They would be asked where you're going. Where are you headed to? Well, you know, when we're walking by faith, that's what we need to do. You know, Rahab could have looked where she had been. But you know where she was looking? She was looking forward. You remember what she asked? She said, I know you're coming. Save my family. She was looking for the future. And isn't that what you and I need to do as we walk by faith? Let's forget what's behind. Let's forget our failures and the faults and all those things behind. And let us focus our eyes on the future. You know, I've seen so many people, and many times even my own self, being paralyzed by the past. Fearful because of what's happened to the past, we don't want to try. I just can't do anything right. I've tried before and it didn't work. We need to walk in faith. Follow the example of Rahab. Forget the past. Walk in faith. Being a virtuous woman is what she was, looking for the future. And you and I, let us walk in faith. Walking with our eye to the future, serving God as we should, and expecting God's blessings upon us as we walk in faith. You know, Rahab, as we mentioned, was in the lineage of Jesus Christ, in his kingly lineage. It's recorded in Matthew. Doesn't it appear God blessed her abundantly? He did it for her. He can do it for us. Let us walk by faith. Let us walk by faith and give God the praise and the honor and the glory. May God bless you.